This podcast is brought to you by Most Valuable Podcasts, saving your day from boredom with the best podcasting entertainment.
What's up, what's up? Real MVPs, Ricky Widmer here, along with fellow man-child, Johnny Carlin. And we are back for another edition of the Rick and Johnny podcast right here on Most Valuable Podcast. This is the one where we're talking about TV, we're talking about movies, entertainment, comic books, nerds, everything, Johnny, under the two nerdy suns. Welcome in. I'm glad you guys can join us. We got a jam-packed show for you guys. But before I get into everything, Johnny, a very special thing that I want you to give the viewers and the listeners on. Give us your official review of Styx 2019 live from wherever you were in Wisconsin.
Actually, it was Illinois. It's Waukegan.
Oh, I thought it was in Wisconsin.
I thought so before, okay. because I forgot where the tickets were for. Okay. But anyways, it was fantastic. It was an amazing concert.
So you lied to me. I lied to him. So it was an amazing concert.
It was fantastic.
I didn't know you were a Styx guy. I didn't peg you for a Styx guy.
It's 60s, 70s rock, so yeah 80s rock.
I never pegged you as a Styx guy. But did they do all the classics?
A lot of them.
They hit you with their
new album, too. Okay. So.
So you were very pleased.
Yes, because the encore was Come Sail. They went off stage, everything was black, and then they came in, Come Sail Away, and then... Come Sail Away was right before the encore because had him.
The last one.
Because the piano player actually played Yellow Brick Road, made the audience sing with him. Then he did part of Bohemian Rhapsody, made the audience sing with him. Then he went into Come Sail Away. They did that. Everything went black. And then the encore was Mr. Roboto and Renegade. So
they ended it with the main one they're going to have is Come Sail Away.
The three biggest that people know.
Everyone wants to hear Come Sail Away, but then Mr. Roboto and Renegade. I'm glad you liked it.
It was great.
I wanted you to let them know how much you liked it as well. But we got a jam-packed show, Johnny. You actually brought one of our topics in today, coming from you. You actually
I tend to forget when I send topics.
But what we're looking at today is a little MCU and then some DC. Last week, we looked at who could play Batman. We're going to look at this week who should be playing Wolverine in the MCU, as we got some new news about the Fox-Disney stuff, and then really that the MCU, Marvel wants to find their next Wolverine. We're going to be talking about who that should be. Then we got some big Batman news. Like I said, we mentioned who should be playing Batman. Well, Robert Pattinson of Twilight fame could be our next Batman. We're going to kind of dive into that, give our thoughts about, is that good? Is it bad? Does he fit it? Does he not? And then finally, we're going to wrap it up with some more DC. Another spinoff movie announced, as DC is going to do Aquaman the Trench as a spinoff movie, maybe like a horror flick.
That would sound about right.
We're going to dive into that and kind of wrap the show up with that one. Before we get started, make sure to check out patreon.com/mostvalpodcast. That's where you can come in and join the podcast. You can be on a podcast. You're at the $10 tier. But really, it's just how you help and support us, and we can't do what we do each and every week without the help of our patrons. But, Johnny, let's dive in. We'll start with some Marvel. And so I believe it was the head of Fox did a panel at a recent con, and she had said that, kind of laid some stuff out for us, that number one, after the first Deadpool movie, she had kind of stepped away and wasn't a big integral part in the next Deadpool movie, the Days of Future Past, the Apocalypse, the Dark Phoenix. Of course, she wrote her John Hancock and was like, yes, do this movie. Yes, I give you permission to do this movie, as I turn off my mic, but she wasn't a huge integral part, kind of like what Kevin Feige is for Marvel. And she kind of had thrown some things out, but the big one is Wolverine. Obviously, they wanted to pass the torch on. Obviously, Marvel wants to pass the torch on.
Hugh Jackman wants to pass the torch on.
Usually, I throw you an open-ended curveball. and you try to hit it the best you can. I want to throw this at you. Muting the computer?
Yep.
No, gotta mute the computer. It's more important. But here's the thing I'm going to throw at you. A quick fastball. On the Fat Man on our Fat Man Beyond show for Kevin Smith and Mark Bernardi, they talked about Wolverine. And here's the quote I'm going to read you. So Bernardi suggested that they're talking about Tom Cruise would look really good as Stryker for when they reboot the X-Men over at Marvel. Kevin Smith paused. And he shot back with, no, F that, make him Wolverine. I want to ask you to start off this. Before we even ask who should play Wolverine, I'll throw this one at you. Tom Cruise is Wolverine. What would be your thoughts?
No. No.
Johnny, just headphones down. I don't need to elaborate a little bit. Why no?
Well, I'm
why just, the emphatic no?
Why the emphatic no? I'm just gonna say one word mm-hmm. that will bring you up into no as well. The Mummy.
Yeah.
I guess that's two words technically, but
yeah, that's kind of a dark spot on Tom Cruise's recent history.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't see he's also older than Hugh Jackman, even though you said mm-hmm. he looks 40. He's still older than Hugh Jackman. Why would we go with someone older mm-hmm. than the previous Wolverine instead of bringing someone else up into Wolverine
mm-hmm.
that like can play it for a while?
Well, and here's the thing with Tom Cruise that I just want to nip it in the bud right now is, yes, The Mummy was terrible.
Yeah.
But let's be completely honest. The next movie that came out after The Mummy
mm-hmm.
was American Made.
Yeah.
Both you and I really liked it. And Tom Cruise was a show stealer.
Yeah.
In our review for that.
Well, that's because that movie was, he was the main character and not, it was supposed to be the main character.
Exactly.
He was supposed to be the main character.
And let's put it this way.
Yeah.
If he is Wolverine, he's not mummying the situation. Kevin Feige is putting his foot down. No, I tell you how it is. You come in here, you do your job. Like, yeah, we kind of like maybe a Robert Downey Jr. where, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. has some sort of like, I don't want to
input.
Say pull, but input, where Kevin Feige is the one.
His
at the
input
end of the
is
day
actually taken.
The show.
Like, they actually go, like, talk, like, at least think about his input.
Exactly. And the thing that I'm going to say and nip this in the bud of why I don't think Tom Cruise, like, if you're excited or if you're not excited for Tom Cruise, don't take it seriously because he's not going to be Wolverine.
Mm-mm.
The reason why I say that is just look at what he's got. He's got Top Gun Maverick, which is filming right now. But even in the future, Mission Impossible 7 and Mission Impossible 8, which were both announced, he's going to be in as Ethan Hunt. 2021, 2022 releases, those have got to be filming at some time. So he's going to be filming right now for Top Gun Maverick, probably filming in 2020 and maybe 2021 for both of those Mission Impossible movies. Don't expect him. Well, hey, you know what? I just kind of thought about it. I'll ask you this. Does Disney, because let's say the deal gets done this year, like June is where we're at now.
Yeah.
We'll get to June. It'll be like, oh, it'll be done in April or it'll be done in August. Are we going to get a Disney X-Men movie before 2021 or 2022, or will it be after 2022?
I'd say it'd be around 2022 or later mm-hmm. because they still got to figure out what storylines they want to go with. They have mm-hmm. to actually, first off, we got to get the deal. The deal has to be done.
Yeah.
Then they have to figure out what storylines they got to go with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to write the script. Then they have to pick the actors and actresses,
who's
going to play who. And then there's filming, then there's post-production,
mm-hmm.
and then there's possibly the reshoots with the post-production.
Let's
so
be
probably,
honest, with the X-Men, there's going to be, in that post-production, the CGI and the special effects
lots,
you have to put in there
because
of the characters that you have.
Exactly. And that all depends on who, what, like, group they go with, et cetera, et cetera. And not to mention, Marvel's probably going to do some sort of introduction to get them into the universe first. So they have to wait and get an actual like not Universe, that they have to actually get the rights to the stuff to somewhat introduce them, whether it be an after credit scene or mentioning them in the universe without actually having them in there, whatever Marvel does, because Marvel doesn't just like necessarily just throw a movie at you that I can think about other than starting off the universe.
Yeah, and
Guardians was one of those.
And the thing that I look at too is, so I'm getting this picture from YouTube channel Emergency Awesome, where in one of his latest videos, he put in a shot of like a schedule that Marvel could do, and I'm just going to read it off for everyone out there. You've got 2020, Black Widow and the Eternals. 2021, BP2, Black Panther 2, Guardians of the Galaxy 3, Doctor Strange 2, Deadpool 3, Spider-Man 3. 2022, then, would be Shang-Chi, hope I said that right, an Avengers movie, Black Widow 2, Fantastic Four, and then 2023 would be the Ant-Man and the Wasp, Eternals 2, Captain Marvel 2, X-Men, Spider-Man 4, before Black Panther 3, Doctor Strange 3, and Fantastic Four 2 in 2024. So if that is in there, like, hey, we're going to do an X-Men movie 2023, that means, hey, we're probably filming that movie end of 2021, beginning of 2022, so that they have enough time to kind of edit it and stuff to where maybe Tom Cruise could do it where it's, hey, if we're filming at the end of 2021, maybe I come out of Mission Impossible and go right into an X-Men role. But that's getting way ahead of ourselves because we don't even know anything for sure. It's just an interesting... Go ahead.
But also with age and stuff like that, you want to cast people you can have on for a while and people that... Like if
Tom Cruise is defying, like Tom Cruise,
that's true.
I will say, and you're not going to get this reference, but I'm going to say it anyways. He's like the LeBron James of acting, where great actor, but also LeBron is like, I'm going to look at how old LeBron is because I don't even know off the top of my head. LeBron's what, 34? And usually in sports, because I know it's different than acting, like you're actually using your body. By like 30s and 40s, it's like, oh, your body is deteriorating. And it's not being able to do the same thing you could as you were older. In acting, usually it's like, oh, you're in your 50s, your 60s. Oh, you're getting some gray hairs. Oh, your skin's getting a little wrinkly. Oh, you're not looking as young as you do. But Tom Cruise, like I told you, he looks like he's early 40s.
Yeah.
I was shocked when I Wikipedia'd it that he is 56 and Hugh Jackman is 50.
Yeah. Well, let me put it this way, though. But who would you want? Is Marvel, who would you want to hire? Someone who's a little bit younger?
I agree with you. I would hire someone younger that could stay in the role so I could have another Hugh Jackman.
Exactly. So I can pull him out for another 10, 20, almost 20 years and use him for as long, like that long. Because, I mean, yeah, Tom Cruise looks young right now. But do you think he's going to be able to do another 20 years of like Wolverine if they wanted to pull that out?
See, and that's the thing of... So, with Marvel, I'm not thinking 20 years.
Also,
give me 10.
Yeah, 10 years. Well, here's the other thing I'm thinking to add to that is you're going to pay for Tom Cruise.
True. But, I mean, think about this, though.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out this kind of caveat there. That, to me, is not a problem because virtually, and I'm going to use another sports analogy here, usually on sports teams, like, oh, we can pay for this big guy because we got this big guy leaving. Marvel might be able to pay for a guy like Tom Cruise because they've got Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans.
True,
possibly leaving. And it's like, hey, we'll just take that pay budget and move it over. But the thing you also have to think about, too, is I'm going to throw this. Since you brought that up, I'll throw this out. Do you want to do that? Because you might have a guy like a you might have an actress like Brie Larson. Well, let's say Captain Marvel catapults her. You might have Tom Holland, who becomes uber famous like he is, and you might have to pay one of those actors and actresses that you were, hey, we didn't have to pay you as much on that first deal, but now we got to really shell out the bucks for you because of what you've become. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's quite a few of the Marvel guys because they're,
Like the, Benedict Cumberbatch?
Exactly. That's one of them I was trying to think of is Benedict Cumberbatch. They probably had to already pay a decent amount for him in the first place. Mm-hmm. The Doctor Strange, and now they're going to do Doctor... And then Infinity War.
Yep.
And then...
What about Chadwick Boseman? Black Panther.
True. Chadwick Boseman. I mean, it's just, there's a lot of names in there. As they keep going through movies, mm-hmm. they're going to have to start paying them a little bit more with each contract.
Then let me ask you this, and I know you and I have kind of looked a little bit through different articles, what people are saying about who should be Wolverine. Do you have somebody on your mind that you're like, hey, this should probably be somebody that Kevin Feige and Marvel kind of target?
You know, I'm looking through some of the articles we're looking at, and there's one I do want to weed out now mm-hmm. just because I can not see Marvel doing it, because technically he's already in a Marvel movie or okay. will be. Is Jake Gyllenhaal is in one of the lists.
I thought you were going to say someone different. I think you said Jake.
I'm weeding him out mm-hmm. because Marvel does. Yeah, they double dip and like actors like, and you can make the argument. Well, Chris Evans was Fox affiliate. Now he did Captain America, and there's some that do like they.
Yeah,
do,
but people pretty much forgot.
They did exactly.
The general public forgot.
I'm saying that's why you can't really count that. And yeah. there's some that do like multiple voices of. Mm-hmm. computer animated yeah. characters, or like I know what's his name, I can't remember the actor's name mm-hmm. he does a lot of the CGI suit stuff.
You're talking about he played Smeagol
in... him too. Andy Serkis does that. Yeah, I almost that's forgot. Something, but there's Serkis. Also one of the brother, the James Gunn's brother.
Oh, Sean Gunn.
Sean Gunn yeah. does some of the CGI suit stuff.
I think it's
stuff.
Sean Gunn. I'll look because
I think
up.
He does the CGI suit for Rocket, for example.
I think
at least in the first Guardians he did, because I remember seeing
right.
him in the gray suit.
Yeah, it is
with
Sean
Batista
Gunn.
Petting him.
Yes. So in Guardians he was obviously his character of Kraglin.
Yeah.
But he was also on set Rocket.
Yeah.
Infinity War, he's on set Rocket.
Exactly. He does the motion capture suit.
Because you need somebody to like be
there
that you can put around it. But then you have Bradley Cooper's voice just
yeah,
being
he's Rocket for via voice. But I just want to say like mm-hmm. that's different, because those like they're not actually that character. They mm-hmm. play one character. Is where Jake Gyllenhaal, he's already in the MCU, and we don't know what's going to happen with Mysterio just mm-hmm. yet. Probably going to be just the same as everyone else. He's going to be put aside and saved for a Sinister Six movie, from what I'm thinking they're leading to.
I'll be completely honest. Like, I would take him out of the running for it only
that's
because
what I'm doing.
He's a Spider-Man guy.
Yeah.
Like, why would you cast someone to be a Spider-Man villain knowing what, like... what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of like that caveat that this is what that gallery of rogues.
That's what I'm
has.
Saying. I'm taking him out of the running.
Yeah.
So
I thought you were going to say somebody different. So I'm going to throw his name out
okay.
there. I thought you were going to go, because the thing that got me scared, Johnny,
scared.
Was when you said he's already a Marvel character.
Okay.
And I was like, please don't take my guy. Please don't take, and I'm going to screw up his last name. Don't take John Bernthal or Bernthal, the Punisher. Don't take
no,
him.
No, him, I actually could see it because I've watched the Punisher, at least the first series.
Because let's be honest.
He's got the intensity.
They're probably going to cancel it soon.
Probably.
I mean, all
which
these.
Which I have to watch second season before it's gone.
All these Netflix. Well, no, it's still going to be on there.
But for how long?
No, that's the thing. Netflix
really?
Is set. Daredevil, you can still get everything.
Okay, good.
They will. The Netflix, because they are Netflix series.
They can't
they
take them off.
They will be there. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's like Marvel can't.
So I don't have to rush and watch all these.
No,
good.
They
I didn't.
Won't be there.
I didn't pay attention to that part. I just like, oh shit, there Disney just, canceled it.
There just won't be any new
more.
Ones. But there hasn't been. If you're wondering, whoa, when did that get canceled? It didn't get canceled.
Punisher still
we're just we're
still
assuming.
Going right now.
Like there was the joke when season two dropped. All right, when's the cancellation coming? All right, when's it coming? It's going to... Any second now, we're going to get
as soon
cancellation.
As, I mean, as soon as they release season two, they cancel it, right?
Yeah, that's usually...
they did already, though.
What
but
it is.
Season two is out. I got to watch that still. But no, I've seen the intensity mm-hmm. in the first one, and if they're not going to recast him as, like... I would recommend first, if you're going to do a Punisher movie, recast him as Punisher.
Yes.
But he can pull out the intensity of Wolverine, I'm pretty sure.
Because you may... like, and the one thing you made a good point on
yeah.
is longevity. And the thing that I think that a guy like Tom Cruise doesn't, he's 42.
Is he?
Yeah, Berthold? I pulled it up. Yeah, 42. Berthold? He's going to be turning, by the end of this year, he'll be 43, which is interesting because here's what I'm gonna throw out there.
Okay.
This hurts a guy like Tom Cruise, helps a guy like Berthold, where basically, think about this, Robert Downey Jr. this year, we're about 2 months away from him being 54.
Jeez.
That means by the time he was Iron Man in that first movie, he was about 43, 44.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
They can get 10 years out of him if they want.
Now, here's the thing, though, that you might have to think about with Wolverine, and I'll ask you this question.
Yeah.
Is Iron Man is a different character.
True.
Think about it. Like, early Tony Stark compared to late Tony Stark, they've been kind of, let's be honest, like, I'm going to say cutting corners a little bit, where it's basically, back then, hey, Robert's able to do a little bit more, not saying that, like, he's getting old or anything, but as you're the character, like, we've already seen characters like, I can't think of his name, the guy who plays Ash in The Evil Dead.
Oh.
He's come out and said negatively about how, I'll never be in a superhero movie because you put that dang suit on for 10 years and basically bashing the actually having to be that for 10 years and being locked down. Like how with Iron Man, it's like how they moved from basically the practicalness to, hey, how much CGI can we make that suit?
Bruce Campbell, by the way.
Bruce Campbell, that's who it was. And Iron Man's different. You can do that. You can say, hey, we're going to make it easier on you so that you don't have a suit. But let's be honest, with a guy like Wolverine or a character like Wolverine, you're still going to be able or you're still going to have to be able to, A, have the physicality of Wolverine and still be able. Yeah, stuntmen are a thing, so like you could throw that out there, but you're still going to be able to go through the physicality part of being Wolverine, either if it's how it looks or what stuff you have to do in the movie.
See, I thought you were going to go a little different route. And in same agreeance of Robert Downey Jr. Compared to Wolverine, Robert Downey Jr., you can have him like age like he did from Iron Man 1 to Avengers Infinity War because he is getting older. He's human. Whereas Wolverine, you may want to get someone in his 20s because you can make him look a little older. You can make him look like he's in his 30s. And then when he's in his 30s, he'll still look like he's in his 30s. Wolverine is supposed to age at like probably a tenth the up normal person does. So you're going to need someone that, like you said, the longevity.
Yeah.
Someone that can play the long game and be there for a while. So one, I want to see what he looks like again. But I'm pretty sure I can, because I just... one that I like that you threw out before the show was Liam Hemsworth.
Okay.
Just bring another Hemsworth brother in there.
I'll be honest. I threw that out as a complete joke of like, hey, you know what? We got one Hemsworth leaving. Let's have another Hemsworth come in.
See, he's not even necessarily leaving. The only thing he will do is Marvel movies after this.
But it's like he's going to be a part-timer, basically. Yeah. That's how I'm going to see it.
And he's our age, so.
He is. So, I mean, he's a younger guy, and plus it's like, I'm trying to see, what movies has he been in recently? Because I thought I saw him in one recently. Oh, it was The Hunger Games.
Yeah, honestly, that's he's actually like, from. He's basically your age.
No, he is.
January of 1990.
Wow. Holy crap, he's 40. Liam Hemsworth is only 4 days older than me.
Yeah.
Damn.
So he.
Wow, I did not realize. He's married to Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that either.
I think that's a topic for another time, though.
Now I'm just curious. Okay, yeah. I thought Chris Hemsworth was a little bit older than us.
Yeah, I think he's the oldest.
Is Liam the youngest
of the
Hemsworth? Yes, he is.
Because Luke younger?
Is 37. So it's Luke is 37, then Chris is 35, and then you got the baby Liam, who's our age. Would have been the same class as both of us, but he's almost the exact man. Me and Liam Hemsworth were almost birthday twins,
right?
Almost. Just a little bit short. But yeah, like one of the guys that I was thinking of, kind of on the same vein as the young side of it, Yet again, holy crap, he's got the same birthday as Dave that I didn't realize.
But well, he's also, we're just going through all of MVP right now.
Not only does he have the same birthday as Dave, he's also 29.
Oh my God.
So he's the exact same age as Dave to the day. But Targon Edgerton, who was in Kingsman.
Okay.
He's the guy that, now, I'll be honest, the thing that sets us apart is, I know you and I are focusing a lot on age, and you want to get a younger person.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing I want to throw out there now that we got to take into it, and this might be the only thing to take away from, I'm just going to call him Eggsy, because that's
what go I ahead remember. Call him Eggsy.
The only thing that'll take away from Eggsy is the baby face.
Yeah,
the baby I did bring face, that up before. And are you going, like, is he going to be able to bulk up?
I mean, he was in a fairly decent shape for Kingsman.
Yeah, but being a secret agent, like, in a suit is way different than, hey, I'm going to go on a full protein diet and basically be swole to be Wolverine.
Yeah.
Like, just the special diet that Hugh Jackman would have to go on.
Like, protein meals 2 hours a day.
Wolverine for his movie. Exactly. Yeah. Like, that's the kind of, like, and that's the thing. Do you need that sort of commitment to be Wolverine, or is it just that's what we're used to?
I think that's what we're used to. Part of it's that what we're, that's what we're used to. I mean, Hugh Jackman got himself bulked up, and he can take whatever route, not ever whatever route he wants, because like, obviously Marvel's going to tell him what they expect out of him. Mm-hmm. But I feel like if he played the way he did, maybe get a little bit more bulk, a little bit more bulk from what he did, how he was in Kingsman, he might be able to just pull it off that way. Because, I mean, he can be his own iteration. Because technically, comic books, Wolverine, let's say you have height as an issue. Wolverine's, how old
he
is?
He was kind of, in the cartoon, he wasn't really tall.
No, I think in the comics, he's like no higher, taller than 5'5".
Okay.
Or 5'6".
So you can go with like stockier version.
Yeah, you can go with the stockier version. He doesn't have to be like 6 foot, like I think Hugh Jackman looked at least. I don't remember if he is, but you can change up the iteration a little bit. Obviously, even if you like just kept the Wolverine costume on him most of the time, a lot of that could be hidden from, like, don't need to see a chiseled six pack. Because what did Hugh Jackman wore most of the time? Dago tee.
True.
Like most of the Wolverine, yeah, most he wore of it, he like wore Dago tees and tight fitting t-shirts.
There's another name I want to throw out there.
Okay.
And this is kind of like earlier you said with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
I'm putting this character in your Jake Gyllenhaal category.
Putting a cap on that.
Because I've seen this, like, in all the articles that I've seen.
Yeah.
This actor's name pops up. Tom Hardy. Get him out of your mind. He's not going to be Wolverine. He is Venom. He's Eddie Brock.
Yeah, I don't think
Sony's not letting him go.
Sony's going to put a little, be a little,
especially after how good Venom did in the box office. Mm-hmm. They're already talking about a Venom 2. If there's going to be a Spider-Verse like they're doing, and they bring Tom Holland back over, I expect there to be a Venom Spider-Man movie at some point with Tom Holland and Tom Hardy's Eddie Brock, or if it's just, hey, Tom Holland's going to be in the MCU, Tom Hardy's going to be locking things down on the Sony end of it. I don't expect him to make a move from being Venom to a Wolverine. Is there anybody else that you think we haven't mentioned that needs a mention?
I got ones that are like, I'm not like jumping ship like onto it. Like Kit Harington would be one that I would might like to see. Scott Eastwood isn't. I was looking just looking his up, and I would like to see him because he was in Pacific Rim, the second one, Uprising, and Suicide Squad, and he played Lieutenant GQ Edwards, which I remember both those roles fairly militaristic, but not like. So, like, he has, like, some of that sort of background. He's has action movie background, which might help into the... And I guess he was also in Fast and Furious, but I really don't know anything about that. So, I feel like those could, like, help him bring some of that into it, whereas I don't know a lot of the rest of his acting, so couldn't say 100%, but I would think he might be a runner-up. Like I said, what else did I just say a minute ago? Kit Harington. You've mm-hmm. seen him in Game of Thrones.
We just need to get that British drawl out.
Pull that out. I mean, maybe he
I
did
a drawl. It's not really a drawl.
You need to get like that British accent out and the get him like just a American Canadian accent somewhere English.
Or do we go with the canceled X-Men one and have him have that like Cockney
Cockney accent? Oh yeah. Other than that, I'm not seeing a lot of people that like in these lists that I would agree with because like
I got two.
You got two.
Two for no's.
Okay.
Zac Efron. I've seen his name thrown out there.
Yeah, I've seen his name too.
Number two, Shia LaBeouf. I don't want to see no LaBeouf.
No.
I know he did that internet meme, the do it, and he was just flexing a bit. But I don't see him as Wolverine. An interesting one, and this is yet again.
I'm going to throw one more out there that I could see. I don't know a lot of his acting, but we saw him. Oh, what was that movie? I can't remember the other movie. He played, but he played Remy LeBeau in the.
You're talking about Taylor Kish.
I am talking about Taylor Kish, and now it's going to bother me until I figure out what movie that is.
He was in Friday Night Lights.
No, he was in a movie we saw.
Was he?
Not too long ago. We did a review on it.
I'm looking at it right now. He was in Friday Night Lights. We didn't see John Carter. American Assassin.
Yes.
He was Ghost.
By the way, I did see John Carter, and I liked that movie, too.
No, I'm saying we didn't see
no.
John Carter.
But yeah, no, he was in the one you just said, American Assassin. And I mean, that, again, you take those elements. I'm not saying he can do the role. I'm saying taking those elements out may help him with playing that role. He did play the villain in that.
I kind of feel like, hey, let's just save him for the Gambit movie.
I agree with you on that.
Let's just
I'm
save
saying,
him for
like
Remy.
I said, these aren't ones I'm like jumping into the ship of, yeah, let's do these guys. I'm like, let's, these are ones that like put on the table, said like, here's some ideas. Mm-hmm. But like the ones I named earlier, like more so like, hey, why not? Let's get these guys in there.
Last one I want to ask you about.
Okay.
Yes, he is old. He is 54.
Okay.
This was another one that I believe came from the Kevin Smith podcast. Keanu Reeves. Could he be a Wolverine based off of what we've seen with him being the John Wick?
John Wick with claws instead of guns. Sure, why not?
Like, but would you see him going from 54 to 60? Well, let's
I know
be honest.
That's the issue.
Let's be honest
right there.
And take this into effect. We're looking at age right now.
Yeah.
When they film,
it's going to be
2 years to the age, basically.
At least 2 years.
Yeah. 2 years and then 10 years from that. So, like with a Liam Hemsworth, 31 is the age you're really going off of.
Still not too bad.
Not bad at all. But like
you got
with 31. Keanu Reeves, you would be going from 56 to 66.
I mean, right now, yes. If like they were filming right now and the movie were coming out next year,
then do it.
Do it. It's going to be kind of an issue, like, because we don't even have, like, I say we, Marvel doesn't have the right, Disney doesn't have the rights to Fox's stuff yet, even.
Until June.
You probably got a good 2 years until anything starts filming.
Mm-hmm.
Year and a half to 2 years. So you're not going to have, as much as I'd like to see him, because basically, like I said, John Wick with claws instead of guns would be interesting. Again, too, and it's... Disney said they'll make Deadpool rated R. They didn't say everyone though. So it's 50-50 if they might go ahead and say, you know what? Logan did beautifully in the box office, I would say, or at least it was a fantastic movie. I don't remember their box office rating. Mm-hmm. But
The last thing here is according to Disney's most recent Security and Exchange Commission filings, the merger is expected to reach completion before June 2019.
Well, yeah, and then not too long ago, you found one that said it's supposed to be done in March, so.
Yeah, well.
It pushed back again.
It was January. That was this year. No, that can't be right. December, that's what it was. October, December. It was like, hey, it's going to be done in March. And it's like, you know what? Now it'll be done in June. We're hoping I'm hoping that it can finish up because I want to see the X-Men and the MCU as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I said Logan did beautifully in the box office, I think they did pretty good. $97 million and they made over $226 million.
Yeah. And plus, it was a great movie.
Yeah, it was.
A phenomenal movie.
Phenomenal. And they got my money.
But this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in the comment section. Anyone we didn't mention that you think should be Wolverine in the MCU. Otherwise, what do you think of the guys we did mention? Who should be Wolverine? Who shouldn't be Wolverine? What should Kevin Feige and Marvel do? Let us know what you think down below in that comment section. But Johnny, let's move on into our next topic. And for the rest of the podcast, we're going to be in DC land yet again. I feel like we've been in DC land a lot recently.
A lot, we have recently.
I think it's actually...
Wolverine was a little refresher from DC land.
Yeah. Johnny's like, please, can I have the... Marvelness back in my life? I'm actually going to pull it up. I'm going to see how many weeks it has been. Because I know last week, for sure, was the, hey, let's go ahead and do the full DC cast. But I feel like we've been in DC mode for a while as my computer is loading. Probably something I should have thought of beforehand, but sometimes these thoughts come to your head. So last week was the full DC podcast. We actually did not do one the week before. It was 2 weeks. No, it was 3 weeks before that. So we had a little bit of a break before doing the DC cast last week. But we're back in DC land. And this one was a topic coming from you. You actually sent it to me. I did not see it. I'm looking at the article from CBR.com. It basically says that rumors about who will replace Ben Affleck and Matt Reeves, the Batman, have been swirling since his departure from the role, which was confirmed 2 weeks ago. Several actors have been thrown out, yada, yada, yada. Let me get to the point. And the one that was thrown out, this is not something of like, hey, Warner Brothers is seriously thinking about this, was fan artist Boss Logic, who we've talked about before, shared Photoshopped artwork of Robert Pattinson as Bruce Wayne on Twitter. However, it was the popular fan artist's caption that started fueling rumors, and it said, "A choice that I never would have thought to try, but been hearing some background chatter about Robert Pattinson being looked at. If the talk's source are true, then all of our predictions were wrong. This might be your new Bruce Wayne." So, Johnny, I'm going to ask you, because I know you have strong opinions about this, what would you think if Robert Pattinson was our next Bruce Wayne and our next Batman?
I don't know, because I don't see movies, and I honestly haven't seen him in many movies. I saw parts of Twilight because... You know, you watch it with your ex or your girlfriend because they really want to.
Make you do it.
Yeah, exactly.
And you love them, so you do it.
Exactly. And what I saw of it, I don't see it. But then again, like I said, I haven't seen a lot of his movies I'm looking at right now. So I can't say. I haven't seen his acting chops in playing something like that.
So basically looking at what he has been in. And so basically since Twilight Breaking Dawn in 2012. Most of the movies, and I'm looking at his IMDb right now.
Same.
There's a reason why I haven't seen them, because he's been in movies that don't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the thing. I will say this.
You're telling me you're not going to go see The Lighthouse?
Off of the look, and of course, all we've got is basically
the look.
The Boss Logic tweet that he put out there. Of course, Boss Logic is going to make him look like Bruce Wayne.
Yes.
So, of course, the image I look like, it's like, yeah, I could see that being a young Bruce Wayne. I just don't know if he fits the characteristics of what I want Bruce Wayne to be. And the only reason I say that is because if he's going to be, and I know it's not going to be, oh, who we are in this movie is different. We've seen actors kind of be very different. Like, just look at Heath Ledger and say, like, oh, because Heath Ledger was the goofy romantic interest in A Knight's Tale, he can't be the Joker, because there's no way he can do that. Well, he proved us wrong.
True.
So I'm not saying he can't, but I don't have confidence in him
being
Bruce Wayne. Because the interesting thing about Batman is this. You have to be, you don't just have to be in the suit. You have to look like Bruce out the suit. It's kind of like Tony Stark in a way.
Yeah.
But with Tony Stark, let's be completely honest, it's just Tony Stark. Because Iron Man is completely covered with a suit. Whereas Batman, you still have like an exposed jaw. And it's a different animal of there's Bruce and then there's Batman. And they're completely different personalities. Whereas Iron Man, they're pretty much the same. Cap, they're pretty much the same. Superman, same thing. You've got Superman, but then you've got Clark Kent, which are very different. Wolverine, in the suit, out the suit. Fox totally did away with that because they never had him have that yellow suit.
Closest the thing they gave to him was in Days of Futures Past was the closest one.
Yeah.
The brown and yellow-ish.
Yeah. Well, I would even say, didn't they have one in like X2 or X3?
Yeah, that was just a black suit? Leather suit.
Exactly. But it was still like not even a real suit. It was still Wolverine of what he was in the movie, where this one is, you got to be Bruce and you got to be Batman. I just don't know if I see him. First off, my worry is, am I going to get the acting chops of what I think Bruce should be, even if he looks the part? But then on top of that, is he even going to fit in as Batman? Like, is he going to be a guy that we look at and go, yes, he is our Batman? I say no, and that's why I would be worried if they casted Robert Pattinson as Batman.
I would too, because like you said, I don't have the confidence for him to do it, only because I haven't seen a lot of his movies. I haven't seen, even like the last thing I saw him in again was, I forgot the name of it, Twilight, because
Dawn Part 2.
Not even that one. I saw the earlier Twilights, and then we just kind of faltered out on watching those, thankfully.
Yeah.
But, I haven't seen anything with him in it since, and I don't know his acting chops well enough to say, I have confidence in him doing it, because like you stated, when you do someone like Batman, you're kind of playing a dual role of, you're playing the Batman and the detective, but then you have to play Bruce Wayne, the billionaire playboy. And yeah, you can like mesh them together a little bit. Whereas like you said, Iron Man, Captain America, and all of them, they kind of play one character with like a flowing dynamic of ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Batman, you kind of are going to play sort of dual role, because one of them is the serious detective and one of them is, you have to basically be a dude dressed as a dude disguised as another dude. You're being Bruce Wayne, you're being Batman dressed up as Bruce Wayne pretending to be a billionaire playboy.
Mm-hmm.
So like you have to make it seem like you're almost pretending to be that.
So, okay.
I guess that would be acting.
So I just typed into Google, this is live on the podcast, by the way.
Yeah.
Let's see. I've got two things. First off, while I look into this one, I want to ask you about this because I just saw this from about 19 hours ago. That would be insane. Guess who else wants to be the Penguin in the Batman?
Who?
Jack Black.
Interesting.
That would be freaking awesome. But I love Jack Black. That's why I think that. Do you think Jack Black could work as the Penguin? And this is very random off of the Robert Pattinson, but this is...
I'm trying to think if that fits Penguin. Because, I mean, I can see him being a Batman villain, but would it be Penguin? Because
think
he's
of Jumanji
very...
Jack Black.
Yeah.
Because that was the last thing.
But still
I think.
Very, like, goofy.
Or was The Clocks Have Walls out after that? I think
The Clocks Have Walls came out after.
The House with the Clocks in the Walls or something like that?
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Because the thing that I'm seeing also, and this is from WeGotThisCovered.com, they have a article that's titled Rumored Shortlist for Warner Brothers' New Batman Revealed. And here's the article. I'm just going to read the first part of it. After three outings as the world's greatest detective, Ben Affleck has officially retired the cape and cowl. Presumably for good, too, unless, of course, director Matt Reeves has some sort of secret cameo planned for him in the Batman. We've already known, though, that he still has, I think, two movies on his contract, and we're not going to be completely done seeing him. But article goes on and says, nevertheless, Big Ben's choice to leave behind the iconic DC hero has naturally sent the internet into a frenzy, which everyone suggesting candidates that should think would be ideal for Batfleck's replacement. And though Warner Brothers has yet to give us any indication of who they have their eye on, Revenge of the Fans believes that they know who the studio's looking at. On the latest episode of their podcast, they named the following actors as those who've been mentioned in regards to the role. Here are the names: Ansel Elgort, Dylan O'Brien, Logan Learman, Noah Centineo, Jack O'Connell, who we had mentioned last week, Kit Harington, Nicholas Holt, another guy we mentioned last week, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Richard Madden, who was Robert Stark in Game of Thrones, Robert Pattinson, and Armie Hammer. Indeed, we've heard a lot of these names already, but a few of them are eye-popping for the first time, and overall, it's an interesting list. If that's the list, I mean, just hearing it right now, there's a lot of them where I'm like, I don't really know. But there are some that pop off. I mean, yeah. I don't want to totally like go back to what we talked about last week, but just from that list, I like Richard Madden better than Robert Pattinson. Nicholas Holt, I said last week, he's my number one choice out of the ones we mentioned. Kit Harington, I like him over Robert Pattinson. Like, if this is the short list for who they're looking at, I don't think Robert Pattinson is at the front of that list. Mm-mm. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree with you. Because there's, just like our last week one, there was a lot of them we talked about that we like, okay, I can see this guy, I can see this guy. And honestly, Robert Pattinson wasn't even on that list that we looked at before.
Okay.
The other list?
So just to throw it out there, because I know, much like you, there are many people that'll be in the comment section like, hey, I know who that is. And immediately throw out their thought. But, oh, okay, I do know some of these names. I just didn't recognize them. So I'm going to go through these names for you, Johnny. We'll do this. We'll go candidate by candidate. I will tell you who they are, tell you what they've been in, kind of let you know who they are.
Appreciate that part because I won't.
And you let me know what you think. The first one is Ansel Elgort, which by the name, I was like, who the hell is this? But then by typing his name into Google, thank God Google is a thing. Do you want to know who he is?
Who?
Baby from Baby Driver.
Didn't see it.
Basically, he was also in Divergent, but I will go ahead and take this one. Basically, no. I don't want to see him as Batman because Baby from Baby Driver didn't really talk much. And plus doesn't have the same kind of look to me as Bruce Wayne. So I would say no on Elgort. Dylan O'Brien was in Teen Wolf. And he was also, although you and I haven't seen these movies unless you did without me. He was an American Assassin. He was Mitch, an American Assassin. But he was also more famously... He was Thomas in the Maze Runner movies.
Okay.
So he's, I believe, the lead in the Maze Runner movies. And he was also Mitch in American Assassin. I still don't see him. It's one of those where he just doesn't, like, he's a year younger than us.
Okay.
So, I mean, not that that's, like, a total, like, no, but, like, eh. Then you got Logan Learman, who... He was in Perks of a Wallflower. He's known for being Percy Jackson in the Percy Jackson movies. And the last one, he was also in Fury as well. He's one that I could maybe see. So I'm just going to go off and go each on all of these. But yet again, the thing is, he was 1992. So yet again, we're getting younger than what we just saw. And then also we've got Noah Centineo, who you and I are going to have no idea of who he is. And the reason why is here is his leading things on IMDb. You ready for this?
Okay.
To All the Boys, I've loved before, never seen it. The Fosters on ABC Family or Freeform as of now. Sierra Burgess is a loser. And then Abraham and Sarah, the musical. So he would be the choice of completely green. Like the top, I'm going to say he would be the Tom Holland choice for Batman of basically, wait, who the hell is this?
Yeah, right.
Who is this? And then maybe blows us away.
Who are you?
With everything. Jack O'Connell, we talked about last week. Kit Harington, we talked about last week. Mm-hmm. Nicholas Holt, we talked about last week. So with that, I'll kind of defer to kind of what we had mentioned last week. Aaron Thomas Johnson is kick-ass. So, I mean, maybe. I mean, he's
Leo. Oh, from Kick-Ass?
Yeah, he was kick-ass in Kick-Ass.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And yet again, think about that. Kick-Ass was about 9 years ago. Kick-Ass 2 was... So if that's your last frame of thought, that was about 13. Oh, he was also Pietro in MCU.
Was he really? Mm-hmm.
I forgot about that.
Wow.
So basically, I'll ask you this then. Quicksilver as Batman, because you can kind of... reference that because you're a Marvel guy.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
I don't think so.
I don't see it either. And of course, it's like, yes, he would look a little different, but like, I don't know. I don't see that as my Bruce Wayne.
Problem is, I'm not familiar with his acting chops because that was one movie.
Yeah. And then Kick-Ass is small vastly parts. Different than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the last three is Richard Madden, as we know, like I said, Robert Stark from Game of Thrones. Robert Pattinson, who we've been talking about already, and then Armie Hammer, who you may know from some movies, The Social Network he was in. He was also in Cars 3, of course, that one, a voice one, so it doesn't really help you at all. And he was also himself in Entourage. He's one that would be interesting because he is the oldest one, I think. I've mentioned so far. I would say my short list, yet again, this is a three-person short list, would be Nicholas Holt at one.
Yeah.
Kit Harington at two. And then either Richard Madden or Jack O'Connell at three.
Okay.
Because, like, Nicholas Holt, we talked about him last week.
We did.
I think he'd be perfect. Perfect for both. Kit Harington... you've got confidence in his chops, and he could look the role. I think I like Richard Madden a little bit better than Jack O'Connell, but I'm not ready to just
drop
Jack O'Connell out. Everyone else, I'm going to take you. Thank you for coming, and I'm just going to put you in the trash bin.
Yeah. Because
I just don't see you being my Batman.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want more of a list, then... where Ricky's shortlist right there, which I agree with. Then go to our other last week's segment about who should play Batman.
I'll probably at this point throw it above you so that it pops up.
Don't appreciate that.
Any final thoughts on this before we move on into Aquaman the Trash?
No, because I feel we're starting to get into what last week's topic was already. Because we're basically saying we don't have a lot of confidence in
Robert Pattinson.
Rod Pattinson, just because
I just... It makes me worried when I hear, like, oh, man, my sources, but let's hope that source is wrong.
I'm hoping so, too.
Mm-hmm. So this is where you guys come in. First off, let us know what you think about Robert Pattinson as Batman. You like it. You love it. You want some more of it. You don't want some more of it. Let us know what you think down below. But also, if you didn't watch last week's, go ahead and watch that. But also let us know who would be your front runner. Give us your short list of three guys who should be the next Bruce Wayne, the next Batman. Let us know in that comment section. And Johnny, let's close out the podcast looking some more at some DC news. And this one did not expect to get, but we got earlier this week. According to a new report from the Hashtag Report, Warner Brothers and DC have hired Noah Gardner and Aiden Fitzgerald to write a horror-tinged script for The Trench, a spin-off movie that would focus on one of the other underwater kingdoms. The Trench are featured multiple times in Aquaman, and the spin-off movie will have more of a horror vibe than the solo film. Juan and Peter Safran will produce the film, Juan being the director of the first Aquaman movie, which is also said to be aiming for a modest budget. As of right now, there are no plans on any main Aquaman characters to appear. Johnny, I want to just ask you this very easy kind of question. What should we expect from this horror, The Trench horror tinge spinoff?
Well, so my knowledge of it is basically from the Aquaman movie, so you'll have more.
Which is very much from the comics.
Yeah, well, you'll have more in depth soon enough, but I'll get through mine first because it's probably going to be brief. I think it would be awesome, especially make it a horror-themed one. The question would be, my thought would be to at least throw in somehow like the evolution of how they became what they are now. Because obviously I wouldn't have thought they were, because when they did like the Seven Kings or like Meeting of the Kings area, they all looked like actual, what do you call it?
People.
People, just like how everyone from Atlanta looked.
Here's the thing. From Atlanta.
Atlantis.
They come from Atlanta, Georgia.
I mean, they look like people from Atlanta, do they look like that in Atlanta? No, they look like people from Atlantis, but now, like, you have these other, like, you have the prawns.
Yes.
That look like they would crossed with crustaceans. You have the fishermen, as they call them, which had the actual mermaid tail. So it's intriguing, like, how these groups actually evolve to the way they are.
And you're right. And here's the history from the comics. For those of you who don't know about The Trench, I'll read it here. When Atlan destroyed Atlantis, it plunged the seven kingdoms of Atlantis into the sea. The survivors initially believed four of the kingdoms were destroyed, and the other three survived and adapted to their new conditions, with 90% of the Atlanteans dying from the event. The Trench were one of the three surviving kingdoms, along with, I'm not even going to try to pronounce them, two others. Basically, Atlantis and Zebelia, one of them. Probably said that wrong. The Trench adapted to living in a trench near the Mid-Atlantic Ridge and developed an alternate language. They have a king and queen who differ physically in form from the worker class of Trench. The Trench follow the wielder of the Death King's scepter. The Trench are drawn to the leader of Atlantis, and Aquaman believes the scepter doesn't hold mystical control over the Trench, but instead, the Trench believe the wielder is this scepter, is their true leader. Wow, that was some weird English there. So basically, they are real people. Like, they are a kingdom of Atlantis who got plunged. They now live in the Trench. And it's basically like, hey, we were just like Atlanteans, but now
we had to adapt to these conditions.
Evolved into our conditions, and now we are just kind of like these gilled monsters with, like, scary teeth and kind of, like, buggy eyes and... I can't wait for this. Like,
yeah.
I saw this because you know as well as I do. I was geeking out about this in our Aquaman review.
Yeah, when we watched the movie, we were geeking out about it.
But then even in our review, I geeked out about it where there's a scene, it's even in the trailer, where you see all of them kind of jumping over the boat or trying to jump on the boat. And I'm like, that's straight from the comics. I loved that because that was straight panel for panel from what you saw in the Trench comic written by Jeff Johns, if Jeff Johns we trust. But this will be interesting. I would like what you said, kind of how did it become, like, show me, maybe, and this is the horror thing of it, show me how they become what they are.
Yeah.
Where the end of the movie is them becoming the Trench.
Yeah, like, show them, like, a slow go-through of, like, how, like, Atlantis, start with, like, Atlantis falling. Into the water, and like you can cut back to like Atlantis every so often, just like what was the king's name back then?
Atlan. Was that Atlan?
Yeah, it was Atlan. Have Atlan and like his advisors doing like a reconnaissance of, like, not going over there, but, like, it's not even reconnaissance then. It's, like, a tally of, like, who all survived and, like, whoa, this group is dead, this group's dead, this group's dead. And just start, like, do that, because then you can even, like, maybe talk a little, like, and make it focus on the trench, but, like, maybe even talk about a little bit how eventually the prawns became how they are, and how everyone from I forgot what it was called, but the one that was out in the desert.
Yes. I don't remember their name.
I don't remember what they called it either, and tell us if you remember. What that group, like, and how they died off. Like, you can do a little snippet in there of that.
Where in the movie they, that was the part where they found that thing and they had to use the sweat to get it to
Could
work.
Could just peed on it.
Yeah, well, that too. here's an interesting thing, though. Two things. First off, I'm going to read a tweet, and James Wan actually responded to it. Producer of this, going to be a producer of this movie, directed the Aquaman movie. So the tweet that, this is Scott Mendelson, put this out. The alleged The Trench Aquaman spinoff is essentially applying the Conjuring Universe model to DC film brands. So you like this killer doll in that one scene or that scary nun in that other scene? Enjoy a whole movie about that killer doll and another with that evil nun. I get what he's trying to say of basically, oh, you like this? Let me give you a full movie of it. James Wan replied to that and said, during the early stages of pre-production, I fell in love with the trench and its designs and secretly hoped to explore this world further slash more. Now I'm not confirming or denying this project. Winky face. Whereas we're now also getting theories where basically there's one on Screen Rant where they have a theory that this trench movie is getting the Cloverfield treatment, as they call it, where basically it's what's interesting about Gardner Fitzgerald coming from Bad Robot is Abrams, retrofitting them into the Cloverfield universe. Cloverfield 10 Lane was originally from a script called The Cellar, and Cloverfield Paradox came from another script called God Particle. Basically what they're saying is, oh, you like this Cloverfield movie? Here, we're going to give you Cloverfield Lane. Here, we're going to give you Cloverfield Paradox. Do you worry about that? That this is not necessarily going to be like, is it going to be like, did we really need this movie? Is that what we're going to think after we see this?
I'm really hoping not, because I, like he said, I am really, like, intrigued with the trench. That'd be cool. And I, as we talked about earlier, I think the way to go about it would be to sort of show the whole evolution of the whole, I'm going to call it the city of the trench.
Yeah.
And, like, how they're, and you can slowly show also how their monarchy, like, evolves. Because
they're supposed to be, like, the savages in my mind.
Yeah, they're considered, well, from Atlantis's point of view, they're all devolved. But guess what? Actually, I just thought about while we were talking on the podcast. What can't normal Atlanteans do that everyone from the trench can?
Breathe underwater. No.
Breathe above water.
Breathe above water.
Yeah. Only high-level Atlanteans can do that.
True.
But like,
because I'm trying to think. Of course Arthur could, because he's part human.
Yeah.
But Mira was it. Mira was able to, and
his father was. His father, her father and mother, was.
And his mother.
Yeah, his mother could, and so could
William Dafoe's character, obviously. That wasn't Mira's father.
Yeah, he could.
William Dafoe's like sage-like character that I can't remember his name.
And then his brother
Orm,
thank you. I couldn't remember his name.
Ocean Master.
Yeah, Ocean Master, thank you. He could, too. But it's only high class.
True.
Of those, but everyone from the trench could, because they're all, those all are considered, as you were reading earlier, those are all considered worker class, and then the king and queen are different. Damn.
Yeah. I mean, I get what people are saying.
Yeah.
Where it was like, oh, you like this from this movie?
I get that.
I don't have that worry, though, because I could tell right away, just by watching the Aquaman movie, that James Wan had a special, kind of liking or a special connection to the Trench. Mm-hmm. Because if he didn't, they wouldn't have been in the movie. Because let's be completely honest. Did they, like, to quote a famous Rickyism from our reviews, mm-hmm. did that really need to be in the movie? No. But was I complaining about it? No. Because it was awesome.
It was.
Because it was baller.
And it added. And
because you can tell that the director actually liked it, and that showed through the silver screen.
And not to mention, it actually added to the mm-hmm. to it. So it's like adding spice. It was adding good spices to a meal.
Yes.
You added some extra stuff that made it taste even better.
And it's not necessarily always bad that, oh, something from this movie spins off into another movie.
Exactly. It doesn't mean it's going to be bad. It's just he really liked that part, mm-hmm. and they want to dive into that more. Mm-hmm. Dive into it.
Because I think what we're looking at is horror movie tropes.
Yeah.
Of like, yes, The Conjuring does that, but The Conjuring is a horror movie that falls into its own tropes.
Exactly.
And what I look at is maybe compare this more to Get Out, the Jordan Peele horror movie, where that movie was supposed to be something totally different within the horror genre that we have never seen, and mm-hmm. why it was put up for so many awards, where this...
Bless you.
Pardon me, I had to sneeze.
Gesundheit.
This could be that first kind of, because name a superhero movie that we've seen dive into the horror genre. I'll wait. Exactly.
You're going to add crickets in that part, right?
Yeah, I'll try. But like, I'll wait. And to me, this is something that I'm kind of upset that Aquaman's going to beat the punch to it. Because like I've told you, I'll explain it right now, Batman should have been the one to beat everyone to the punch on a horror film.
You would think so, yeah. But hey,
give me the Arkham Asylum storyline from the comic in that horror film.
Yeah.
Like, give me that.
That should be the one that, if anyone does it. But I'm not opposed to the Trench doing it, because mm-hmm. That would be awesome to see. And
finding out, like, how they become what they are, the development of them becoming from what they were to these kind of creatures that we saw in Aquaman.
And, I mean, then you can, I don't know, figure out some storylines mm-hmm. like the modern day of what the Trench is and mm-hmm. what it does.
Any final thoughts on this? Anything? Because I feel like I've hit everything that I need to. I'm pumped for it. I hope it becomes something that looks really cool and not like new. Because here's another thing I'll bring up. Forgot about this. New Mutants, man. And of course, they're dealing with a merger that probably they should have been canned right away. But like, that's one where it's like they reshot a lot.
Yeah.
And like that,
they might push that one out just because try and get their money back on putting it together.
But I mean, that's one where it's like, I don't expect it to be like that. But like, that might be people's first impression to the horror genre superhero film.
I was going
to
say then,
which will set the bar low, which will be good, because so, then it could exceed expectations.
If Aquaman does do this, or not Aquaman, mm-hmm. if DC does do this with the Aquaman Trench, mm-hmm. and it's successful, you think that could start a whole new genre of superhero movie?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Horror superhero movies?
Because you think about it. There's not even other characters. If this is successful,
mm-hmm.
Blade. We get another Blade movie.
We get Blade Marvel. Movies.
We get Blade. I mean, Sony's Sony's going to do a Morbius movie, which I'm assuming is going to take some horror background.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I mean, it's a vampire. It's a vampire that you're talking about. It should take it, some horror aspects.
No, you're right. It should if they're going to do it right. Then you, like you said, Batman, mm-hmm. Arkham Asylum, or a movie with Man-Bat could be a horror movie.
Yeah.
Trying to think who else. You can bring in the Dark Justice League
mm-hmm.
and
Justice
do
League
any
Dark.
There you go. Thank you. Close enough. But then you have any of the characters from that to play around with. John Constantine. A new Constantine movie, because we had a Constantine movie before.
Because, I mean, and the thing about that, too, which is interesting, is the whole, like, dark magic side of it. And seeing, like, a Constantine, a Zatanna, Swamp Thing, I know we're going to get that in the DC universe of TV shows
yeah
on the streaming service, but getting like Dead Man, the Demon.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool. Dead now, Man. The thing is, does that now then branch it off to, would, because you have Swamp Thing being a TV series on the streaming service, would you then like say, hey, let's keep Justice League Dark to be a TV series on the service instead of a movie on the Silver
Screen? That way they can combine them, maybe, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, that would be, but at the same time, we have a...
Pull of Defenders.
We have a Silver Screen Cyborg, and now we'll have a TV Cyborg. So they could, I mean, be,
they can do either own way, too.
They could,
yeah,
be in their own. It could just be alternate realities.
True, because DC has a lot of those.
I'm excited for this. I hope it becomes something good.
I hope so,
any
too.
Any final thoughts from you?
No, I think I gave you one little extra that
that we weren't thinking of.
Yeah.
Well, this is where you guys come in. Let us know what you think down below in that comment section. Are you excited for this? Does this get your Jimmy's going, or are you kind of like, hey, you know what? I'm not really a horror guy. I'm not really a horror girl. I'm not going to see it. Let us know what you think down below in that comment section. I want to thank you guys for checking out the Rick and Johnny podcast. Make sure to hit us up on patreon.com/mostvaluablepodcast. Make sure to review the podcast on iTunes. Give us that 5-star rating. I hope we hit that mark for you like we try to do each and every week. And then last but not least, make sure to follow us on Twitter at WarMachine9085.
Yes.
At Ricky Widmer, at Most Valuable Pod is Most Valuable Podcast. Thank you guys again. I don't know how many times I said thank you, but I'll say it again. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And as always, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to this MVP podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Most Valuable Pod for more great podcasts.